Welcome to Merchman Seeds Cup of Joe. On this episode, how do conditions affect crops after planting? Dick Moore's 2024 planting guide is available on our website and linked below. Hear from Ben about a new fungicide in our starting line corn seed treatment and the benefit it provides. Dylan gives insight on factors that can inflict early stress on the plant and herbicide carryover that can affect yield. Ben summarizes an article from Iowa State on bean leaf beetles and how they can reduce your yield.
Hi, this is Joe Merchman. Welcome to Merchman Seeds Cup of Joe. Today we have Ben, Lynn, and Dylan, and we're going to start with Lynn.
Yeah, so fielding some phone calls this week about the weather conditions here locally, and it kind of seemed like we missed, in certain areas, some rain. It looked like at one point in time, you know, from Arkansas to Minnesota, we were going to have rain, but some places, particularly in that central Missouri region, west central Missouri, seemed to miss rain. So those guys are hot and heavy, but up here to the north, a lot of rain. You're probably, what, getting over 2 inches now accumulation out of, mm-hmm. you know, Monday to Friday. We're 1.5. So the questions that I'm getting are, I planted corn over the weekend. Am I safe? We had a little bit of adverse weather coming in from a temperature standpoint. We're probably going to be a little bit on the saturated side. Is everything going to be okay? And to be honest with you, everything that I've went and looked at, we're setting perfectly fine. From a corn standpoint, with a growing point being below ground, our 4-inch soil temps look to be very active around that 50-degree mark. We're going to fall below it, but, you know, it's one of those by the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning, we're below. By 1 o'clock in the afternoon, we're above. And if we're doing that at the 4-inch, the 2-inch level will react much more quicker to that. So I'm not concerned on corn. We did get a picture yesterday of beans emerged in Monroe City. But
Missouri.
Yep. Which is an hour and a half from here. So planted on last Friday and was emerged on speculating Thursday, if not maybe even Wednesday afternoon. So when we talk about beans in that aspect, and I know we've kind of talked about this ad nauseum, mm-hmm. as long as we're not getting to 28 degrees for 2 hours, we're going to be okay. And I think down there, they're predicted the low of 36. They're not even going to get to freezing temps up here. I don't think we're now predicted to get to, what, 35, 34, and it's going to be pretty fleeting. So for anyone that's planted, was progressive, had the fields ready to go, I'm pretty confident that we're going to be okay with all the crops that are in. Now, we kind of go into the second evolution is, I got a little bit done, now I need to get the rest done. What do I do? When do I, you know, pull the trigger on the my favorite quote from your dad, if 80% of the field is ready to go and 20 isn't, you go. When is that time frame? I think we still have one window on beans that we're going to be able to definitely hit. Corn's going to come around pretty quickly as well toward the end of the week. But I don't think we're at a position where we need to mud anything in. Just pick your crop that the conditions look conducive to. If we're in that 40 to 45 degree soil temp, I'm okay with definitely on beans and even on our corn. What we know for germination on that, we're in a window that we're going to warm up pretty quick after that happens, because I think it's like next Thursday we're going to start staying above consistently the 50 degree mark on our 4-inch soil temp. So,
but just always remember this, as long as I've been here, there's always 2 days every year you should not plant, but we don't know those two
Correct.
Days.
We have some guides, you know, Dick Moore provided us with a planting guide. So if you haven't checked that out on the website, do look at that.
Based on the signs of the moon.
Correct. We were just looking before filming, looking at the weather, and what would be next week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, are very poor days. And we have some cold rain coming in on that, according to the weather service. So so far right now, Dick is batting 1,000 in my book on what we're sitting at. So it's one of those, you know, anecdotal things to check out. But right now we're still in the month of April. We're going to have a window in the month of April. It's not time to panic. Just make sure that your conditions are fit from a wetness standpoint. Temperature, we're going to be fine. So scratch around and make sure those soil conditions, you know, when you're, if you're a conventional tillage guy, you know, look at that 2.5 inch depth, your tillage floor, where you're going to be planting that crop is, you know, doing the mud ball test, making sure that everything looks good. Because what we are probably going to see, and it seems like it's kind of been a trend, and for, you know, some of the folks in Missouri that we talk to, that's just an every year occurrence, that we're going to get a little bit of a crust on top. We're going to have some sunlight, wind, a little bit of heat, probably crust off, but then underneath we're going to have a pretty mucky situation going on. So as we were just discussing earlier before filming, it's not the date that has a lot to do with yield, it's the conditions that happen afterwards. Mm-hmm. So make sure you're, you know, what probably got guys in trouble a little bit last year with some of the these very minute problems that we had was there was a day when you should have parked the planter, but it was 72 degrees on, I think, what was our magic day? It was like April 13th or something like that. The extended forecast didn't look great, but it was hard to say no when it's 80 degrees and sunny and you have an opportunity in April. So make sure we're looking at that. In particular, you know, when we talk about corn, I mean, that's going to be very important when we look at that uniform fast emergence, that we have those growing conditions afterwards that are conducive to get that up out of the ground.
And don't forget about RC treatment on corn, Ben. You might mention the additional fungicide that we put in and what it kind of benefit it shows in these kinds of conditions.
Pyraxastrobin is a fungicide that it's been proven in like mint fields that when they use this, it actually makes the mint more hardy to freezes and stuff like that. So when we add that fungicide that's not in this year's book, but it's on the website, when we added that into the seed treatment for corn, we're actually getting a little bit of a boost in germination and vigor, getting the corn out of the ground when it's cold. So we're protected from multiple facets between the trapidity and the fungicide. So,
and just how good the quality of corn was to boot.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I don't know that I've ever seen a year where we have this much mid-90s to upper 90s on saturated cold germ scores. So phenomenal quality corn.
Yeah, so like I say, weather looks good ahead, get her in the ground.
Yep.
Well, Dylan, you've been working on something, it sounds like.
Yep, so I was reading an article about possible herbicide carryover with all those dry conditions that we saw in some spots last year, that they could be a problem again this year because we had no moisture and everything was kind of at a stalemate, essentially. It seemed like even pre's and post's weren't working because there was nothing there to help those herbicides work. So it seems like right now we're off to a good start with early moisture right now. But we need to kind of pay attention to those low fertility, low or high pH areas, where those beans or corn have that early stress that could affect them again this year with 24 because everything was so dry last year in 23. Kind of throughout the whole season, it seemed like some areas were drier than others, of course. But anywhere where either corn or soybeans have a lot of stress, it seems like that's where we're going to see those in those areas. It's not going to be whole fields, of course. It's going to be where most stress or the sprayer had some overlap or areas such like that.
Yeah, I read this week that HPPDs in soybeans could be up this year as far as damage goes. So it doesn't take a lot of those types of products to cause injury on soybeans. So as you're looking at your crop as it's coming up, you know, keep that in the back of your mind that what herbicide you used could be affecting this year's crop if you were in very dry conditions.
Yep. Look at those dark red spots on the drought monitor, and that's probably where you're going to be seeing those issues. And you are absolutely correct. You know, the HPPDs, like I think the statistic on HPPDs is they're like, some form of HPPD is used on like 80% of the corn growing acres in the United States, and that's a higher number in the I states. It's even higher than that 80%. So almost every mix or every blend has a Callisto, a Loudus, a product that
balance.
Has balance, yep, a product that has that mix in the corn game. So,
yeah, and we are working on putting HPPD tolerance into our Enlist germplasm. So, I mean, it's got to go through regulatory. But towards the end of the decade, we'll have that into it. So then be less likely to have to worry about it. Because, you know, balance bean, when it originally came out, was a great product to plant in those situations. And what we noticed in research was in areas where we had research plots where there was a product, HPPD, put on previous year and there was carryover, all of those products were at the top of the trials. which didn't mean they were the best products. This means that they definitely overcame the injury. So it is a big issue because we've seen it in our plots.
Yeah, especially if guys are using HPPD in their pre and their post program.
Correct.
So if you got like 3 ounces of Callisto in your pre and 3 ounces of Callisto in your post, that's going to be where you're seeing issues for sure.
Yeah, it's a very good herbicides. They're just very persistent. And of course, when we don't get a lot of moisture, it don't break it down. So keep that in mind.
In certain areas, we do see some piggyback too. Then, you know, PPO gets a little bit of the brunt of the issues when it comes to that. But, you know, when that bean's already subjected to potentially an HPPD carryover, and then we go into cool and wet, you know, for a brief moment as that bean's coming through that PPO layer, it's kind of an unfortunate mixture that we're just subjecting that young seedling to a lot of stress from a chemistry standpoint. But as we've talked about, probably ad nauseum, that we have to have those chemistries to make sure that our fields are clean. So when we're looking at this, you know, making sure that we're as early as possible in our corn application the year before, so that way we're giving ourselves as much time for both weather and the time standpoint, because some of them are, what, 10 month plant back on some of that. So we're giving ourselves enough time to get that to degrade, making sure that we are keeping our fertility up from a standpoint of that we're having healthy plants, because if we have healthy plants, we can fight through a lot of that stress and overcome some of the issues that we have when it comes to some of those early season stresses that are not related to Mother Nature.
Yep, well, you're absolutely correct. I'm talking about stress. Iowa State had a nice article on bean leaf beetles that I kind of wanted to talk about. Bean leaf beetles is something that we look at. We see some everywhere. We see some pressure at some point in our sales territory every year, but they're never typically at a high enough level to be an economic injury, especially from the first generation of what we're looking at. And Iowa State's article says it's the warmest winter ever means low mortality on bean leaf beetles. So we haven't had this low of a mortality rate since 2012. The state of Iowa as an average right now has a 40% mortality, and they're usually used to seeing closer in that 70-80% mortality rates. And the reason for that being is bean leaf beetles, when they overwinter as adults, they have to have temperatures less than 15 degree Fahrenheit to be subjected to die. We didn't have that because of the 1 week that we got into the teens. Those bean leaf beetles would have been protected by about a foot of snow.
Correct.
So there's something to keep out on the watch for. I'm not as concerned with the first generation as I am the second, I guess I'm not as concerned with the overwintering generation that would be doing the feeding, because number one, the insecticide that we use is a systemic, not a contact.
As our seed treatment, yeah.
And our seed treatment. The feeding is usually cosmetic, but it can vector the bean pod model virus, but where the real yield loss comes into play is when they start clipping pods in the fall in the second generation. So if we can get them under control, keep an eye out for them if they are doing some feeding, if you do some bug bombing early to lower those numbers, it may help reduce the amount of population that will be in the second generation.
And from firsthand experience, it's really hard to see those little boogers.
Oh yeah, they hear you coming, and yep. they run down in a crack, and that's why I say you see the damage. You go, well, I don't see the beetles, and then they're pretty smart.
Yep. So 2 years ago, locally, we had a one field, so they overwintered in either alfalfa or CRP that kind of surrounded this field. The location that sells for us was also a retail location, so they were able to go out, and I think they end up spraying a insecticide with the post application and got them all under control. But I was very fortunate to actually, I guess, sneak up on them and found a few. But it is another one of those pests that you just have to look at the damage and make the assumption that it's probably coming based on timing of where we're at, that it's coming from that, because they're extremely hard to see when you're out in the field trying to scout for it.
And when they vector that virus, it can create green stems in the fall. So, I mean, you know, and again, if you eliminate the first generation, your odds of having a second generation are not as good, you know, so.
Right. Oh, and that's...
It's not always fungicide application that causes a green stem, so.
Yep.
Yes. Nope, you're absolutely correct on that one. The only other thing that I wanted to mention about bean leaf beetles is it's something that you really need to watch for if you are a seed grower or if you were selling into a premium market, because once you get that
non-GMO purple, type thing,
once you get that purple staining on the outside edge, the seed is not worth as much money to the guys that are going towards that end market of eventually becoming food. And then from a seed grower standpoint, from our standpoint, is you don't want any breaches into that seed coat that may cause damage.
So the threshold is actually lower for spraying them in a food grade market or a seed production market.
Yep, you're absolutely correct. So,
anything else? You guys tough enough to take these jokes this week? So I got four of them, and I mean, I told before we started filming, I said these are really bad. So, okay, so I just want to prepare the audience. You know, tighten that seatbelt up a little bit, you know, because it's going to be tough. Okay, I got an email saying that Google Maps can read maps backward. It was obviously spam, SPAM MAPS, okay? If you're dyslexic, I'm sure you got that one right away, okay? Okay, some ancient Egyptians claim there were no crocodiles in their country. I think they were in denial. Nile River, you know, okay, all right. I don't know if you knew this or not, but my son likes elevators. My daughter likes escalators. They are raised differently. Okay. All right, this is the grand finale. I think this one's probably the only good one in the bunch, okay? Mother Nature originally planned to use wasps to pollinate flowers. Eventually, she went to plan B. You can only hold it back so long, right, Ben?
Yep.
But anyhow, thanks for watching today. We hope your planting season is going along well. We hope your family is safe, and we sincerely appreciate your business. We'll see you next week.